From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
It is the Bill Michaels Show. However, Bill Michaels off today, getting some load management. He'll be back tomorrow, 10 to 2 on this fine program. Ryan Horvat filling in alongside Evan Heffelfinger. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Horvat, R-Y-A-N-H-O-R-V-A-T. Good news for hockey fans, potentially, as the NHL looks like they may be the, I can't believe I'm saying this, the most organized league. We're joined now by Jeff Vayette. He's a hockey writer and analyst. You can find his work over on the Faceoff Circle. Jeff, thanks for giving us a couple minutes today. How you feeling, buddy? How you been holding up with no hockey the past, what, 60-plus days?
Me, between media and doing some other hockey operations work, I was so busy over the course of the season that when everything stopped, it almost felt like a little bit of a relief. So right. Now I'm starting to get back to wanting to be back in the game again, but it's been a weird, almost reprieve. Obviously, you don't want to call it that given the circumstances that led up to it and that we're still facing, but it's definitely an interesting time.
Yeah, absolutely. So the NHL obviously going to abandon the rest of the regular season, go straight into the playoffs, hopefully with 24 teams rather than 16, if they're able to resume play. That's the key thing here from Commissioner Gary Bettman yesterday. First things first, does it surprise you that Bettman and the NHL are going to at least attempt to be the first league really to get it all figured out and put a plan out there for a return? Does that surprise you whatsoever?
Not really. I think a lot of it is just them trying to show that there is a plan in place. It doesn't seem like they're too aggressive on the timelines. Like they were saying yesterday that phase three doesn't even start till a minimum of July 1st, and they won't even necessarily commit to that.
Right.
I think they mostly just want people to know that they are working on it and paying attention to all potential variables. Whether or not they actually become the first action to get back on the playing surface is still up to debate, but knowing the league's history of work stoppages and just absences of the game, I mean, Bettman even alluded to that yesterday. I think they just wanted to kind of be as prepared as possible for whatever happens next.
Yeah, I mean, these all sound like great plans, like Major League Baseball coming back and playing 82 games, the NHL coming back, you know, and playing in these bubbles and having a full NFL season. But I think the key thing that we aren't really talking about are the players on board. Do you think the players will be on board with this plan for the NHL to come back?
It's tough, and you see it from team to team. Like you look at a team like Montreal, who just barely even squeaked into this expanded qualification. A friend pointed out yesterday that if the season went on one more day, they were going to face Buffalo the night that everything got canceled. There's a very real chance that even that matchup flips. And guys like Phil Deneau were talking about how they'd rather kind of be with their families. And I feel like there's a lot of these guys who are kind of wondering, hey, well, first off, we have this very serious situation going on, but also, am I going to be preparing for months just to be bounced out again in three games? So even from a hockey standpoint, it's not completely perfect. And the vote that the NHLPA had looks a little bit more lopsided. It went 29-2. But I think that was just a matter of representatives knowing that it was going to pass and not putting up too much of a fuss. I think there's still a lot of stuff to show out, and there's going to be a lot of conversations between the league and the players over the next few months about how to proceed with this in a way that doesn't disrupt or put anyone in too much risk.
Talking with Jeff Vayette, you can find his work on the Faceoff Circle. So what are your thoughts on the 24 teams getting in rather than the regular 16? Obviously, it's going to be exciting as hell as a hockey fan because I love playoff hockey, but what are your overall thoughts on this format?
On one hand, it's hockey. You're excited to have it back. In terms of how good of a method or format it is, I'm not a huge fan of it, in total honesty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an issue with the idea of it being expanded and it being chaotic, but at the same time, this kind of, it feels like the league wants to have some degree of control but also wants a little bit of that chaos of trying to get the best of both worlds, not really getting any of them. For example, an article that I wrote on the Faceoff Circle last week was a format they could do that would be similar but continue to have the integrity of the game in place is to take 23 of these teams. Montreal, unfortunately, wouldn't make it in this scenario. If you wanted to find a way to do it, I guess you could. But play them to 74 regular season games. Create some sort of balance in the season. Figure out who the 16 teams are from there. And then go into the playoffs. So that would be one way of doing it. You could also just go with the top 16 teams in terms of points percentage, because as I brought up with the Montreal Buffalo example, even this 24-team format doesn't exactly it still leaves stuff to question. And the league has at times played a game total like this or even less, and still felt that 16 was enough. If 16 was enough in 19, if 16 was enough in 1995. And in 2013, where they played 48-game seasons, this should be enough of about 70 games. The original six era was pretty much always 70 games. All the way up to about the 70s was in that 70, 74-game threshold. So it's not like we're really losing integrity by calling the 16 teams here. If anything, I feel like you're kind of maintaining it. The issue here, too, is now with the way the draft lottery format works. So this whole scenario almost benefits the mediocre teams more than anybody else.
Right.
The top teams who aren't in the play-ins can win the Stanley Cup, but they have no chance in the draft lottery. The bottom teams can't win the Stanley Cup, but they have a chance in the draft lottery. If you're in the middle, you have a crack at the cup. If you bail out in the first round, you also have a chance to double dip and go for that lottery pick as well, if the lottery dictates that. So for me, especially in a sport that's already the most luck-driven of the big North American sports, it's already a weighted coin toss almost come playoff time. To add even more randomness to it, while also trying to give off the idea of we have control over the situation, mm-hmm. It just doesn't feel like a proper format in that regard. You're not getting enough of the integrity. You're not getting enough of the chaos. But going back to the original point, it's hockey. It's stuff that's back on TV. You get to see your favorite players again. So I think at the end of the day, the fan bases aren't going to mind. But I don't know if it was necessarily the most sensible format to go with from a hockey perspective.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because who benefits the most? Because you look at the top teams that played the regular season the right way, and then you look at the bottom teams, you know, with the new draft format. But I'm thinking, does this benefit a team like, for example, the Chicago Blackhawks, who have, you know, a top goalie in Corey Crawford, who could get hot, and they have some talent still. So if they get hot at the right time, they could end up winning. I mean, I don't know if we were even going to call it the Stanley Cup final at this point, but they could end up winning the cup when, I mean, they were brutal this season. They were awful.
Yeah, exactly. I think they have 72 points. The odds of them getting to that final wild card spot were so astronomically slim. They were already a 2-3% shot of making the playoffs. Where all of a sudden you have teams like Pittsburgh, for example, mm-hmm. who 86 point season, 40 wins, plus 28 goal difference, and they're going to have to go in against a Montreal team that's won 19 games in regulation. They're just barely clinging on to a 500 record. If you lose that play-in, which is definitely possible, that doesn't really seem too fair to me. Teams that have no shot at this. Now, it's a little bit better that they've gone the conference route, because at first there was talks that they would be doing this as top six in each division rather than going with the conferences. And that would have put even worse teams into this. Like, for a while, it looked like we may have even seen teams like Buffalo and Anaheim getting into spots. So yeah, it technically could have been a little bit worse, but it just seems like there's too much reward given to these teams that are just on the cusp of making the playoffs. It values mediocrity. It values being in the middle. Like, I'm all for parity, and I like the idea of anybody really having a shot, but I don't think we need to push too hard for those teams to get benefit. It almost punishes you for being good.
Exactly, and that's what I'm thinking when you see teams like Chicago, a big market where they love hockey. I'm like, okay, I see what you guys are trying to do here. But, you know, we keep talking, I love postseason hockey. I mean, I love postseason hockey. Probably, I think it's the best postseason. I mean, they just get the playoffs right. Now, we've seen sports without fans in attendance. We're seeing UFC, no fans in attendance. NASCAR's coming back. Well, what's postseason hockey going to look like without fans, like with empty arenas? That's what I'm wondering about the product of, you know, what it would really look like. Because, I mean, postseason hockey, I don't sit down the entire time, even if I'm just at home watching the game on TV. What's that going to look like with nobody in attendance, though?
Yeah, it's pretty tough when you think about it. Like, on one hand, you can look to minor hockey and youth hockey and these levels that these players have played in the past, and there's still the energy on the ice is 100% still there. These guys have a championship that they're trying to win. They're not thinking about the crowd and the broadcast presentation and all that in the moment. They're there to play the game. So I think the on-ice product is maintained. Now, from a fan's perspective, watching it on television, yeah, it's going to be different. I was watching the Bundesliga games that were on TV up here in Canada yesterday.
Yep.
There's a lot of interest right now in Bayern Munich because they have Alphonso Davies, who's a Canadian top prospect.
Yep. So they won me money yesterday, too.
That.
Yep.
Nice. watching that and kind of not getting that fan experience, like, it's kind of nice if you're like a hardcore person into the game that kind of wants to hear some of the conversation, but it doesn't give you that all-in immersiveness and energy. And on the other side, there was a tweet that I posted a few days ago of PK Subban's goal in 2014 against Boston in the playoffs, where you just hear the Montreal fans are losing their minds the second he touches the puck to start the breakaway. Like, the goal isn't even in yet,
right,
and it's already a rocking atmosphere. And it's like, how do you possibly replicate that in something like this? You lose the theater of it. You'll maintain the integrity of the game, but as a theatrical entertainment product, it's definitely going to take some getting used to.
Absolutely. Jeff, thanks for giving us a couple minutes, man. I hope to talk again soon, and I hope we'll be talking about some postseason hockey and not more proposed plans for sports to come back.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. That's Jeff Vayette. You could find his work, again, at the Faceoff Circle. You could find him on Twitter. Again, JeffVeillette. That's where you could find him. Does great, great work covering the NHL. And you can find him on Twitter. And again, the Faceoff Circle. Take a quick break. When we come back, more of the Bill Michaels Show here on the Bill Michaels Network. Ryan Horvath filling in for Bill.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Van Horn Automotive. They've got a large, large inventory of the 2019 Ram EcoDiesels priced to sell. Now, you get the utility of a truck, 27 miles to the gallon on a highway. I love this thing. When I had a chance to drive it for a little while last year, go to vanhornauto.com. They've got a bunch of these things on the lot. Go to vanhornauto.com. You don't need to put off that unexpected auto repair right now as well. You can finance 0% APR for 12 months and repairs up to $2,000. The application process is quick. It's easy. It's available at the Van Horn Service Center. See them again at vanhornauto.com. You can buy new. You can buy used. You can do everything online. Respect social distancing, CDC guidelines. They can even disinfect your car. There is everything you'd ever want right there at vanhornauto.com when it comes to your car need, whether it's repair, service, collision, buying a new, buying a used, whatever it happens to be, Van Horn can take care of it through their 16 dealerships throughout Wisconsin. They've got dealerships in Iowa. Again, the Van Horn Auto Group, family born and employee owned. Check them out on the web at vanhornauto.com. Again, that's vanhornauto.com.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at the Four Seasons Island Resort and Pine Mountain Ski and Golf Resort as well. If you want to go up north and do some social distancing, that's where it was invented. The Four Seasons Island Resort is in Pembine, Wisconsin, or Pine Mountain Ski and Golf Resort in Iron Mountain, Michigan, home of the Timberstone Championship Golf Course. Both are absolutely beautiful. Go to TimberstoneGolfCourse.com. That's TimberstoneGolfCourse.com. Or TheFourSeasonsWI.com. That's TheFourSeasonsWI.com.
Bill Michaels Show, Bill Knight, Michaels Network. No Bill Michaels, though. He will be back tomorrow. A little load management for Bill. Much-needed day of rest. Joe Zinzola, Radio Joe, also off today. Myself, Ryan Horvath, Evan Heffelfinger, filling in. Again, Bill back tomorrow. I believe Radio Joe back next week. Evan, do you guys ever call Radio Joe by his full name, Joe Zinzola, or is he just known as Radio Joe around here on this on these here airwaves?
It kind of goes off of what Bill says, and usually he just says Radio Joe, and I mean, it's really catchy, honestly.
Radio Joe.
If I had a name like that, I would be going by Radio Joe as well.
Completely agree. I always forget because, obviously, Bill Michaels, statewide network, so you're probably, you know, a lot of you aren't listening on the flagship station, 105.7 FM, The Fan, so I always forget that. So you know, I'm used to doing the morning show over at the flagship station. So I forget that it's almost like two different worlds, where Radio Joe in my world is Joe Zanzilla, but to the Bill Michaels network, he's just, you know, Radio Joe, big shot. Hitting the links today, getting some much-needed rest. Sounds great. We're going to talk about the NBA and this possible change in the playoff format, maybe going to the World Cup-style tournament. Also, I do want to talk about the Warriors fans and the media out in the Bay Area really believing that they have a legitimate shot at landing Giannis. Now, I do think if Giannis ever was to leave Milwaukee, it would make all the sense in the world that he would go play in Golden State, because you're playing with Steph Curry, who could shoot the hell out of the basketball. You're playing with Klay Thompson, who could shoot the hell out of the basketball, but it's also one of the better perimeter defenders, maybe the best perimeter defender in the entire NBA, definitely the most underrated defender in the NBA. And you got Draymond Green, who could pretty much run the offense. So Giannis would be a perfect fit. I mean, when they were pursuing Kevin Durant, I always knew Durant was going to end up in Golden State, even when OKC had the 3-1 lead on the Warriors the year before he ditched them, because he failed miserably in Game 6 to beat the Warriors. But I always knew he would land there because the basketball never stops moving. That's the offense. That's the system you want to play in if you're a scorer. So it would make all the sense in the world. But Giannis loves it here in Milwaukee. He really does. And I think the Bucks have done a great job building a championship contender around him. You could say, okay, maybe you'd rather have Damian Lillard, or maybe you'd rather have Kemba Walker than Chris Middleton, which makes sense, you know, for the money that those guys are making. But they built a championship contender around Giannis. Look at all the veterans they surrounded him with. Look at all the shooters they surrounded him with. Kyle Korver, Wes Matthews. These are guys that are trying to win a championship right now. They don't have many years left. So you've built a contender around the guy. I don't think he's going anywhere. But the Warriors fans, and I get it's a dead time for all of us. I mean, I'm probably planning on talking another hour and a half of hockey today, Evan, because it's going to be the only sport we may have here soon. I get it's a dead time for all of us in sports media, but they keep throwing stuff at the wall to see what'll stick, and I do not think Giannis will be a member of the Golden State Warriors. I do not think he leaves Milwaukee. Coming up, so I want to talk about the change in the playoff format, because I'm a millennial. I'm new school, I guess, but I like it the way it is. I like the traditional 16 teams make the NBA playoffs, 8 in the East, 8 in the West. And if you do want to change it and you want to change formats, it would make more sense to do it next year. You know, when you play a full season that doesn't get shortened or doesn't get cut short, or you don't have to be delayed by a pandemic. Because the teams that started the season in training camp, you got to finish the season the way that it was meant to be played, in my opinion. Because look at it like this. The Bucks played the season the right way all year long. They barely rested anybody. Giannis is out there every single night. You know, even the older players, not a whole lot of load management. They're going out there. They're trying to win every single night. They're doing it the right way. And it's great for the fan base, because you go to the Pfizer Forum and you're paying a ridiculous amount to be there already. You're paying a ridiculous amount at the concession stand, and you're dropping $300-$400 to bring the whole family to a Bucks game. You want to be entertained. You don't want to go out there and watch, well, maybe you do, Evan, but you don't want to go out there and watch DJ Wilson and Sterling Brown running the floor. You want to go out there and you want to see the MVP of the league and Giannis. You want to see Chris Middleton. They're not doing load management. They're going out there and trying to win every single night. Even the Lakers, same thing. Like 2 years ago, LeBron sat out every night because it was a garbage team. He wanted to go to LA. He wanted to build his contender. That year was focused on making Space Jam and selling things and selling more Lakers jerseys. But even the Lakers played the season the right way. Not a whole lot of load management. The Clippers, they did what Toronto did last year with Kawhi Leonard. A lot of load management with Paul George as well. I would argue they didn't play the season the right way, but they did just enough to be in the position where they're at, most likely the second or third seed out West. So then you're kind of punishing them. Because if they would have known that they needed to be the number one seed to be in these tier one teams and not these tier two or tier three teams, they probably would have played the season a little bit differently, knowing that it would be a World Cup style like format. And we'll get into the format change in case you guys aren't paying attention, because I know for a lot of us, this is just getting exhausting. We want sports back, but we're sick of hearing, well, maybe this is coming back. If this guy could agree with this guy, if this owner could convince this player, we're sick of it. We want sports. We want to break down why Craig Council used Josh Hader in the eighth inning, not why this billionaire can't get on the same page as this millionaire. But this is what we got right now. Some news really quick, though. We will get into that. So John Heyman, because this is kind of where I want to go with this, Evan, has a tweet. While Major League Baseball and players are eons apart on money, that's never great, one piece of good news is there seems to be general agreement on universal DH for 2020. Appears to be blah, 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 blah. So I guess the whole thing is they're going to agree that universal DH will come to the league when they do come back here in 2020. So you got universal DH, NBA playoff format change. Are sports broken? Like, why do we need to fix everything? Are we that bored with sports? Are we just that bored because we don't have sports? We'll talk about that. But when we come back, I want to know if you guys prefer the traditional playoff format, or should these leagues try something new? Now's the time to do it. That's what everybody keeps arguing. I'll argue against that. I've seen the new playoff format for the NBA, and I hate it. I want them to just go old school on this one. It's the Bill Michaels Show, the Bill Michaels Network. Ryan Horvath filling in for Bill alongside Evan Heffelfinger. We'll be back to talk some NBA with you here on The Fan.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You don't get them girls loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose. You don't get money.
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do. I do. You don't get them girls loose. You don't get the world loose. You don't get money. But I do. I do.
I say y'all having a good time out there.
Ryan Horvath in for Bill, sitting alongside Evan Heffelfinger and Pitbull. 855-830-8648. We've talked some hockey. We've talked some Major League Baseball. We've dipped in some German League soccer, mainly just the fact that they're pumping in fake crowd noise. And personally, I love it for the broadcast. I think they should do it in the arenas. And if there's an NFL season, I think they should pump in the fake crowd noise like they've been doing in Minnesota for years, if we aren't able to get fans in attendance. I really do. I think it adds to the game. 855-830-8648. Now we're going to talk some NBA basketball, and I'm going to bring up this World Cup-like tournament, and we'll talk about the regular playoff format. What's the best way for the NBA to determine a champion in 2020? 855-830-8648. So the NBA and the National Basketball Players Association have discussed, originally a couple weeks back, they discussed a model of 30 teams returning to reach a target goal of 72 regular season games rather than 82. So you lose out on 10 games. So some bad teams were able, were returning to work. The Atlanta Hawks, not a great team. But 10 players participated in voluntary workouts on Memorial Day. Even on a holiday, 10 guys showed up, including Trae Young. They're the league's closest to that total of 72 games. They've played 67 games. So if they were to return in that format, they'd have to play 5 games. Then their season most likely would be over. So some bad teams will return. Some star players on bad teams may not return. We may see a regular playoff format. We may not. We may see a World Cup-like tournament. And Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer did a really good job breaking that down. We'll get to that. But we've heard some players, Damian Lillard said, if I don't have a chance to make the playoffs, why am I going to come back? And they're a couple games behind the Memphis Grizzlies out west for the 8th seed. So even if they do get in, what are the odds that a team like the Trailblazers could get hot and actually win the NBA Finals? Probably not good, but it makes sense for a guy like Damian Lillard or even a guy like Steph Curry or Draymond Green, you know, star players on bad teams, to not want to come back. I mean, we saw guys, and especially when you figure the fact in that they haven't played basketball, they haven't even really been able to work out for the last 60 days. I think a good example of why it would be, I don't blame a guy like Damian Lillard for not wanting to come back. Look at Kevin Durant last year. He was injured for the NBA playoffs. He comes back in the NBA Finals. He plays one half. He's playing his ass off. He looks great. And then, boom, injured. Out for the entire next season. Klay Thompson in the playoffs last year. Torn ACL. Missed this entire season. That's why the Warriors are a disaster. If you rush these guys back, Damian Lillard, his team's already out of playoff. They're not out of playoff contention. So that's a bad example. Steph Curry comes back. One of the most marketable players in the NBA. Everybody knows Steph Curry. He comes back, plays the final 5 games to get to the 72 mark, tears his ACL. You now lose Steph Curry for 2021, one of your most marketable players. And he just doesn't get to play basketball for a year. Loses out on a whole lot. A chance to win another championship if they are able to actually lure a superstar there. So I get why some guys wouldn't want to come back. If you're not out of playoff contention, why come back and finish your regular season? You have no chance to win a title. It makes complete sense. So I do get that for the 72 mark. So maybe it makes more sense to do this to do this World Cup style tournament. Now, you would still have to get these guys back, which most are able to get into their facilities again as we continue to open up the country a little bit. Guys are able to work out now. I mean, it was, what, a month ago that the Bucks did a conference call and Giannis said he doesn't even have a hoop at his house. He's not even playing basketball. You can't just rush these guys back out on the floor. On the morning show, we had Allie Quigley on, who was in the horse competition, and she was talking about the WNBA and getting back to just getting back into playing shape. Because like I bring up, if you've played basketball, you know you could be in shape, and then you could be in basketball shape. You have to be in basketball shape to return. And that's any sport, really. That's pitchers in Major League Baseball. That's why we got to get these guys in training camp, and we got to give them 2 to 3 weeks to get their bodies back in playing shape. Just because a guy like Steph Curry is still in great shape, I mean, he could probably run 18 miles right now on the treadmill, where I would struggle to get one in. If you get him back on the basketball floor, and he's going up and down the floor, and he takes a hard screen, he's going up for a rebound and takes a shot to the face. Like, they got to get back into playing shape, into game shape. You can't just rush these guys back out on the floor. So you're going to have to do some sort of training camp, and that's why I would like to see the regular season finish. But it doesn't make sense for every single team to come back, especially teams out of playoff contention, because they are risking injury. Now, you could say these guys are millionaires. They signed on the dotted line. They signed these big contracts. I'm going to work every day and risking my health, risking my life. Why shouldn't these millionaires go out there? They're getting paid to do a job. Go out there and do your job. Makes sense, but there's no reason that we should rush injury, you know, for some of these teams that are out of playoff contention. So anyway, Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer broke down what could be a new way to bring basketball back and to crown a champion this year with everything that's going down. Late Friday night, the league office sent a survey to all 30 general managers asking for their feedback on several different formats to restart the season. One proposal is to replace the first round of the playoffs with a group stage in which the 20 teams with the best records will be placed into four groups of five teams. Teams will play two games against each opponent in their own group, and the teams with the best two records from each group will qualify for the second round of the playoffs. Eight teams would advance, and then teams would play seven-game series to determine the champion. So again, this is late Friday night. The league office sent the survey to all 30 GMs asking for their feedback on how to bring back the season. Do you bring back just the regular playoff format? You try to finish the last couple games of the regular season that you could get in, play 72 games, then the teams that are done go home for the summer or go home and come back, you know, next year for training camp, whether the season's delayed or whatever? Or do you try one of these new ideas out? And again, one proposal. You replace the first round of the playoffs. You go into a group stage. 20 teams with the best records placed into four groups of five teams, and we'll go through how that would look. Teams will play two games against each opponent in their own group, and then the teams with the two best records from each group qualify for the second round of the playoffs. Eight teams in advance, so you get the best eight teams in the NBA, and then those teams play seven-game series to determine the champion. Now, do you guys like that idea, or do you think they should just come back, play a couple regular season games, maybe play a couple exhibition-type games, some inter-squad scrimmages? I don't know the answer. And then just go into the regular playoff format. What do you guys think? 855-830-8648. You could also tweet at me at 105.7FM, The Fan. Find us on Facebook. All that fun stuff. Find the station at 105.7FM, The Fan. So I'm intrigued into seeing what happens here because we know Adam Silver, he's wanted this mid-season-type tournament. He was in Paris this January. That's where he said that he was jealous in certain ways of soccer globally, and he advocated for the NBA to adopt a soccer-style-like mid-season tournament and a late-season play-in tournament, which, okay, if you want to do that, that's fine. Begin that in 2001, 2022, because my whole argument is just you have to finish the season the way it was meant to be finished. That's just the way that I see it, or else you're kind of screwing over the Milwaukee Bucks. You're kind of screwing the Lakers over because they played the season the way that you should, the regular season. But, you know, unfortunately in the NBA, teams use a lot of load management. The Clippers, great example of that. Last year's Raptors squad that beats the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, great example of that. Kawhi was well-rested. Giannis was a little beat up in the playoffs. But the Bucks won 60-plus games and got home court advantage, which is why we argue every year how important is the number one overall seed in the NBA and how important is home court advantage when we saw the Bucks lose two straight at Pfizer last year for the first time in the playoffs. But I just feel like that's the way that I want it to end, the traditional format. But I'll take basketball back any way I could get it at the same time. But I do think that this may be the route they go because Adam Silver, he's a big soccer fan. He loves the idea of that mid-season tournament, which I really don't care about. Like, at the end of the season, if you want to do some sort of play-in tournament, I don't mind for the teams that are competing for the eighth seed. And, you know, we talk about how hockey is going to change their playoff format and more teams are going to get in. The difference there is if you look at the top seeds and the teams that would miss out on the playoffs, I believe it's seeds 5 through 10. And I want to say the West. I don't have the standings pulled up. I probably should have did that. But I want to say it's out West. The seeds that are 5 through 10 trying to get into playoff position, they're all like a game apart. We're in the NBA. I mean, everybody's pretty spread out. You know, it'd be the Magic is the 8th seed in the East. It would be, if the playoffs were to start today, it would be the Memphis Grizzlies out West. And we can't even make the argument that the West is that much better than the East, which it is, you know, historically. But this season, it's a little bit different. I mean, the Grizzlies are a game below 500, and they'd be the 8th seed if the playoffs started today. Usually out West, just to make the playoffs, you got to win 48 to 51 games, and then you're still a 6th or 7th seed, an 8th seed possibly in the West. But the West is down a little bit this year. So if the Trailblazers do want to complain and Damian Lillard doesn't want to come back, I understand it. Or if you want to do a play-in tournament and teams like the Blazers and the Grizzlies have to play in some sort of World Cup-style format to get in, I'm fine with that. But there's no reason that the Bucks shouldn't just go the route that they were supposed to in the East. Like, let's look at this, for example. The group stage format. So Tier 1 teams, for example, 20 teams into 5 tiers. So Tier 1 teams would be the Milwaukee Bucks, number one overall seed in the East, and the Lakers, the number one overall seed in the West. Then you got the Raptors, and you got the Clippers. So the Clippers would be a Tier 1 team if you started without playing any type of regular season, or if you didn't, you know, play the 72 games, you didn't finish out the 5 regular season games. Tier 2, you're looking at the Celtics, the Nuggets, the Jazz, and the Heat. Tier 3, you're looking at the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have surprised everybody this year after losing Russell Westbrook and losing Kevin Durant in the last 3 or 4 years. They start all over with Chris Paul, who nobody wanted to touch that contract. Now, they're a tough team. So that's a tough out is a Tier 3 team. The Rockets are a Tier 3 team with a guy that could have won MVP last year, and James Harden could win it this year. The Indiana Pacers is a Tier 3 team, and they're just getting healthy. And they're probably healthier now more than ever because Oladipo missed the first couple months of the season. Now he's been sitting home for the last 65 days, fully healthy. Malcolm Brogdon fully healthy. So the Pacers would be a tough out, and they're a Tier 3 team. And then the Philadelphia 76ers is a Tier 3 team as well. And that's a team we really just can't understand because when they're at home in Philadelphia, as we saw on Christmas Day, they could play lights-out basketball. They could hit 60% from the floor, from three. They defend. Joel Embiid defends. But on the road, they're a completely different team. They're a disaster. But still, that's you put them as a Tier 3. It's a scary Tier 3 team, the Sixers are. Tier 4 teams, the Dallas Mavericks. They have Luka. The Grizzlies would be a Tier 4 team. The Nets, the Magic. And then you get into the fives. That's the Blazers, the Pelicans, the Kings, and the Spurs. And the Spurs are a disaster this year, but I don't want to face Greg Popovich in the playoffs in a two-game format or a one-game format or World Cup-style format. I really don't want to face the Blazers in the playoffs if I don't have to because we've seen Damian Lillard individually win a playoff series before. And I don't really want to see the Pelicans. You know, Zion Williamson, he's had 2 months off. He's fully healthy. I know he's only a rookie, but he could dominate, get him 20-10. They have Drew Holiday, who locked up Damian Lillard, beat the Blazers in the playoffs. Those are scary teams. So groups could be then randomly drawn, but that's what we'd be looking at. Tier 1, Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, Clippers. Tier 2, Celtics, Nuggets, Jazz, Heat. Tier 3, Thunder, Rockets, Pacers, Sixers. So do you guys like this idea? Do we really need change in sports? I just read that tweet from John Heyman talking about the universal DH. We're seeing the NHL hockey playoff. That whole format's changed. Do we need to change anything? Are sports broken? Or are we just that bored and we miss them that much that now we're coming up with all these ideas? Because I'm young, I'm a millennial, and I'm not bored by sports. 4-hour baseball games, 5-hour baseball games, they don't really bother me. I want to be there. I want to be watching sports on my couch. I don't think we need to change anything. Like, what's broken about the NBA playoffs? I would argue nothing. Evan, what are your thoughts, man? Do you like this? Do you like this group stage format, or do you like just the traditional playoffs? And do you think the Bucks would get screwed over in this format? Because I do.
I think they absolutely would get screwed over. I think that no matter what, they kind of earned that home court advantage that we're not really going to get with fans, so I feel like they kind of get screwed that way. But for the teams that made the playoffs, it doesn't make sense to have this kind of grouping, especially because the East, I mean, we were looking at playing, who is the 8th seed in the East?
The 8 seed would be the Orlando Magic.
So we would have played them first round. Instead, we have a much stronger competition in that first round. I like the idea. We had on our podcast last week that you can find on the radio.com app, we talked about the potential of having like almost like an NIT tournament for those teams that didn't make the playoffs so that they feel like they're interested in playing again.
Play for draft picks rather than the stupid draft lottery that's rigged. We all know it's rigged.
Pay for money. Play for money. Just, I mean, because the teams aren't going to show up to play three games and then go home. But I don't think this group stage thing is the right idea either. You have your playoff teams do the normal playoffs, maybe even shorten it to five-game series, especially mm-hmm. the first couple of rounds. But
which I mean, it used to be.
Right.
I mean, the first round was five games. And
it makes sense.
That.
The Bucks are going to beat the Magic in four games anyway. It doesn't matter.
And the only reason they changed the playoff format, and I know we got to get a break here, and we will, and we'll continue to talk about this, but the only reason, and I don't want to hear anything different from the NBA, the only reason they changed the playoff format in the first round of the playoffs is revenue, gate revenue right. for teams that make the playoffs. Like the Detroit Pistons, for example, last year, the Bucks, they never stood a chance against the Bucks. But the Pistons owner in the franchise wanted to get into the playoffs so bad just for that one game, two games of playoff revenue because it's so much money coming their way. That's the only reason they even expanded the first round of the playoffs. When's the last time you watched a good first round playoff series? Well, maybe that New Orleans, that Drew Holiday Trailblazers series a couple years ago where Drew Holiday locked down Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. We'll continue to talk about this. Do you guys like the idea or should the NBA just keep it as is? The traditional playoff format, 855-830-8648. We'll be back. It's the Bill Michaels Show here on the Bill Michaels Network. Ryan Horvath filling in.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, reminding you if you do get out and about, drink responsibly, stay socially distant, but enjoy yourself. In the summer, as it starts to warm up, all brought to you by our good friends over there at Bud Light.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show Ryan Horvath filling in Bill Michaels with a little load management today, but he will be back tomorrow for a Thursday show. Evan Heffelfinger producing the show, and he will also be back tomorrow. Radio Joe Zinzola will be back next week as we continue to await, hopefully, for some good news, man, for Major League Baseball. We need baseball back, and we need baseball back by early July. 4th of July, I want to be sitting back, barbecuing, listening to Uke on the radio. Watching Fox Sports Wisconsin would be nice. It was nice to see Brian Anderson this weekend calling some competitive sports. I was a big fan of the match. I love the Phil Mickelson-Tiger Woods rivalry. I really do. I love the Tom Brady-Peyton Manning rivalry. And now it looks like they're going to try to make this a yearly tradition. I saw the match. So they're going to try to do Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson, a golf exhibition, every single year around this time. And every year they're going to choose different celebrities. So maybe next year, who knows, we'll get Aaron Rodgers versus Jay Cutler or something like that. 855-830-8648. Do you prefer the traditional playoff format for the NBA? Or are you open to trying some new things? With everything that's going on in the world, if you're able to get the league back, would you be willing to try some new things? Would it screw over the Bucks? That's what we're talking about now. 855-830-8648. Coming up. In about 5 minutes from now, we're going to talk with Matt Velasquez from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll get his take on the possible new change to the NBA playoff format. Also, what are the Bucks up to right now? 2 months ago, Giannis didn't have a hoop at his house. Is he able to get up shots? Are they able to get some workouts in? We'll get the latest on the Milwaukee Bucks with Matt Velasquez. Haven't heard from him in a while, so it'll be good to talk some hoops. And then at 1:35, we talk with Justin Bradford, author of The Making of Smashville. Does work with Penalty Box Radio, and he just sent me a direct message that he may have some good news involving the return of the NHL, and he's got a conference call right now with some important people, so hopefully he breaks some good news for us on the return of hockey. That's the other thing, if you guys want to call in the next 60 minutes before we get off these airwaves for the Wendy's Big Show, 2 to 6 over on the flagship station, of course, 105.7 FM The Fan, got to remember to say that. But if you guys, I'm just curious, so I've been watching a lot of sports that I've never watched in my lifetime. I'm watching more soccer now than I have ever watched in my lifetime. I'm watching NASCAR. I'm waking up super early in the morning, or I'm staying up super late on a Saturday night into Sunday morning to watch KBO League Baseball. If the NHL is able to come back, and we don't have baseball, and you aren't even a hockey fan, will you watch? Because I will say this, the NHL playoffs, the NHL postseason, unlike anything else. It's great. I mean, you can't sit down. You can't breathe barely. But a lot of that is the atmosphere in the arenas. So that's what I want to talk with Justin Bradford coming up at 1:35. Will playoff hockey still be playoff hockey if nobody's in the arena? And we'll continue to talk about the NBA and this possible change to the playoff format. Again, teams will play opponents within their own groups twice, meaning every team would play 8 games. The 2 teams in each group with the best record would move on. Tiebreak and procedure has yet to be settled on, but utilizing the highest winning percentage from the regular season would be a logical first option. So in that case, the Bucks would be a Tier 1 team, Lakers a Tier 1 team. But still, I don't know. Imagine if Giannis goes down with a sprained ankle and just has to miss a week. Or what if somebody gets COVID-19 and has to be quarantined for 2 weeks? And then you face a team like the Rockets who just get hot. I don't know that I like it. I think I like the old school way of doing things. 3 hours in the books, 1 more hour to go here on the Bill Michaels Show, the Bill Michaels Network. Up next, we talk with Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking Bucks basketball here on a Wednesday afternoon. Ryan Horvath in for Bill. We'll be back.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.